The hallway in the home where I grew up is about 15 feet long. That's 5 giant steps for me in a current game of Mother May I. I was almost 3 when we moved into the house, so it seemed much longer. It hasn't grown, but I have. I believe that Mom and Dad bought the hallway and the rest of the house, for that matter, because my sister Sharon was about to be born. Back then, you didn't know if you were having a boy or a girl. 4 years later, another unknown was born, Jackie. I openly wished for a brother both times, but having 2 sisters worked out fine. The hallway commands traffic for the entire house. You cross it to enter the kitchen from the living room. The opposite is true as well. Most of my life, our family members entered through the side door, so the kitchen was the primary point of entry. You turned left from the kitchen to go upstairs. Upstairs was originally unfinished. Mom and Dad had it remodeled to provide us with a 3rd bedroom. The upstairs had a Dutch door. Turning right down the hall took you to our single bathroom, a large bedroom on the left, and a small bedroom straight ahead. The entire left side of the hallway has built-in closets, cupboards, and drawers. Just past the bathroom door, there's a small built-in shelf for the family phone, retired and relocated decades ago. The in-the-wall archway above the phone housed the door chimes. The chimes, in addition to serving a distinct function, were decorative. The hallway was the key to our family. The 3 kids ran down it while chasing each other. We waited in it for take a bath or do our duty. And I remember 2 times when Sharon and I waited in the hall for our turn to receive a spanking from Dad. Being the oldest, I was first in line. I was a quick crier, so Sharon didn't have to wait long. Sharon refused to cry, so her release to the hallway was delayed. The hallway was the gathering place on Christmas morning. We entered as an anxious group to see if Santa had come. He always did. Grandma Tebow lived with us for several months after Grandpa Tebow passed. She had the small bedroom at the end of the hall. Her room was sparsely furnished, but it featured her rocking chair. I stood in the hall sometimes to watch her darn my dad's white work socks, crochet doilies, or read from her Bible while she rocked. One evening, when I was about 10, Dad received a phone call from one of his Army buddies. The man and several other Army friends had run into each other at the state fair, where the first friend was working in the sheep barn judging sheep. The guys asked if they could come over to see my dad. We had 6 or 7 visitors that night. The girls and I had to go to bed, but I snuck downstairs and hid behind the Dutch door. I listened to their stories from the war throughout the entire night. They were in the Army Corps of Engineers and served together in the Pacific. They talked about building bridges across rivers while being shot at by the Japanese and then blowing the bridges up after our forces had advanced. They discussed several adventures. Some were fun, but most were dangerous. They also spoke of friends who didn't come home. I learned several new words that night. It was the only time I ever heard my dad speak of his time overseas. The only way I heard the stories was because he didn't know I was listening, and I never told him. The phone in the built-in hallway stand was hooked to a party line. I was too young to figure out the difference in ringtones, so sometimes when I answered, someone else was already on the line. I remember 4 calls from my youth that changed my family forever. 2 were happy calls and 2 were sad. In December 1955, Mom and Dad took my 2 sisters and me to see Santa Claus. After we returned home, the hallway phone rang. My dad answered. He spoke briefly and then walked through the living room and out to the front porch. As he passed through the living room, he told me that Grandpa Tebow died. Grandpa had fallen and broken his hip a couple weeks prior. He developed pneumonia while in the hospital and died in his sleep. I watched Dad as he stood alone on the front porch. That's the first time I ever saw him cry. On December 7th, 1957, the hallway phone rang again. This time, Uncle Harry Barner called to tell us that Linda Lee had been born. I already had four girl cousins, two sisters, and the only boy cousin from the Barner side of the family. Jean and I were outnumbered 6-2. Linda Lee only added to my outnumbered dismay. Within the year she learned to crawl, she became my playmate whenever she visited. We played a crawling game of hide-and-seek in the hallway and the adjoining rooms. As a result of our playful game, I welcomed her to our family, even though she was a girl. The following December, we received another call. It was early morning as I was getting up to go to school. I had the bedroom at the end of the hall, and the phone was just outside my door. I listened as Mom learned that her mom, Grandma Barner, had a heart attack during the night and never woke up. That was another terribly sad time for our family. 2 months later, we received a February phone call. My bedroom remained near the hallway phone, and I jumped up and down in my bed with joy when I heard that David Carter had been born. Uncle Harry and Aunt Phyllis had come through with a boy. Hallelujah. As I got older, I took the hallway for granted. It was just a passageway that allowed me to get from one place to another within the house. During my teens, Mom and Dad added a phone in the basement and moved the hallway phone to the kitchen. I used the basement phone to talk to girls while my tormenting sisters sat on the steps and listened. The hallway phone pedestal sat empty and remains that way today. Sometime along the way, the decorative chimes became silent. They passed with age like seldom used items. My sister, Jackie, lives in the house. While she moved away a couple times, she returned to the home of her birth, and now the hallway belongs to her. We spoke on our cell phones earlier this week. She told me that she had removed the silent chimes and wondered what to do with the space. I offered a couple of suggestions that I know she'll never use. Sometimes brother's suggestions aren't visually pleasing or practical. No matter what she does, even if it's nothing, the hallway will remain. Its memory is locked firmly in my brain and will remain so until someone has to make a call about me.